5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like.
You're never gonna write.
I get it right sometimes. Talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus. We're in a circus. It's crazy.
True.
And so I can mess
unintelligible.
Up. That's right.
We are not professionals.
Obviously.
The only credentials we have are for kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleader. Man, it's going to be one of those.
Red leather, yellow leather.
It's going to be one of those nights. Hello, fellow ringleaders. I am your host, Barry Ricks. And with me, I have my beautiful, wonderful, lovely, cute as a button wife, Crystal Ricks. All right. And
for, let's see, three more days.
Three more days.
Our kids will be 7, 5, 3, and 1.
Yes. And then we're going to start hitting birthdays.
Yep, this is the week, people. Woo!
And it's also school starts this week.
Woo!
Yeah, woo! So school starts on Wednesday.
Right, right.
And that's exciting because weird, we'll have two kids in school.
I know. I don't even know how to handle it.
And not just like half day, because where we live, kindergarten is a full day program. So we'll have two kids, full day schools. And so you only have two kids at home.
I know, except the one that's going in is the one that entertains the other two. So I'm actually terrified on what this means for me.
Have we
talked about this before?
A little bit. I don't know if on the show, but we've talked about it in person.
I'm terrified. Because A, they are the two babies of the family, and so they always fight for mommy. Like, who gets to sit on my lap? Who gets to have my attention? And they get jealous of each other. And our five-year-old always plays with the three-year-old. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
I think you'll be able to handle it.
I'm going to have to play with my children.
What?
I know. If you could see my face, you'd know how I'm feeling right now.
But no, it's like a new step in life.
I know.
Having two kids in school, it's weird.
I know. I'm starting to understand that statement, enjoy it while you can, because it, what is it? The one I hate. The statement that I hate more than anything.
You're going to miss it when it's gone.
Yeah, enjoy it now, because you're going to miss it when gone. And I always have hated that, but now I'm like, wow, in just, what, 3 more years?
Yeah.
They're all going to be in school.
3 or 4 years.
So now I'm already sitting back and reflecting, like, did I make this time worth it? And I know in 3 years I'm going to be one of those people saying, enjoy it while you can.
Please don't.
Oh my gosh. I hate it when I turn into people I hate.
Not hate, but dislike what they say.
I hate their comments.
Comments!
But I get it.
But we don't hate your guys' comments, so don't forget to comment on Facebook.
Unless you're telling me to enjoy it now. But, so, yeah. I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Nervous, interesting.
Crazy. So this week was rather interesting.
That's a kind word to call it.
Thanks, Marge.
I did sound like Marge.
You did. But I was once again gone all week.
What?
And I wasn't out of town on a business trip, but I was, like, I didn't go far away. I went to the next town over, which is a half an hour away, but there was a big fair, county fair and rodeo, like huge, and we just happened to have a booth for our business at the fair, and I had to man it every single day. So
that not just every day, but every day, all day.
Well, the booth times were from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., so 12 hours. And I had
plus
to go
being to work at
and 7:30. I had to go to work, you know, be there by regular work at 8, do what I need to do in the morning, then go to the fair at 10. So I was gone from like 7:30 till 10:30 every night.
Plus, we just got over that giant yard sale.
Yeah, and so we're still
the biggest project of my life.
We're still out of out of sync with, like, we hadn't gotten back into a regular routine.
Well, and I think, because I was working toward this purpose for, like, a month, and had this project I was working on constantly every day, and then I had this huge, like, the climax where it was just awesome, you know? I put all my hard work into this weekend, and no sleep, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. And so I had nothing to work on or anything, so I just felt like I hit the worst funk in the world this week. And you can attest to that. It's okay.
I wasn't here to notice it.
It was awful. It was horrible. So horrible, to help you get an idea, is I read 3 novels this week.
Not, they weren't big novels.
Well, they weren't.
Like,
that one's small, but I read 3. The other 2 were big.
This one I'm holding in my hands is like a novella.
Okay, I feel like you're downplaying my badness.
You weren't bad.
I totally read all day instead of watching my kids. So the first day, so Monday was the first day of the fair. And I guess I have to backtrack. Sunday night, Barry made cookies because we always make cookies on Sunday.
Generally.
Except tonight because we had a giant bag of Snickers.
Which we're eating.
And so we made snickerdoodles. And so we sold the box in our room on Monday morning. And I was just so tired that I slept in. And the kids came in at like 10 in the morning. And I was still in bed. And they come in and they're like, we're hungry. And I was like, okay, I'll get up and get breakfast. And then I look over and I just see this box of snickerdoodles. And I'm like, just have a cookie.
Kind of reminds me of the Bill Cosby, like, chocolate cake. It's just like,
oh, yeah.
Be like, wait, it has eggs in it. It has, you know, all these other good things in it. That's a totally good breakfast food.
I know. So they're all sitting on our bed eating snickerdoodles. And I'm just sitting there in the dark like,
the snickerdoodle darkness.
I know. And yes. And then.
That's the title of the show.
Oh, that's a good one. And then so I just told the kids, go play the Wii. And I just laid in bed, like, all day and read my first book the first day. Ugh. I just feel terrible. It was awful. I was so unhappy, and I just didn't want to be a mom this week. Like, not that I want to get rid of my kids, but I want to get rid of them for the week. Right? Can I just hire a nanny for 1 week?
So, sorry, babe.
Yeah. I'm making you feel guilty.
It's not like it's not like I'm like, I'm away from my family!
Whatever. I bet you were.
It was totally.
You gotta listen to music and eat good food.
It was totally boring. Yeah, eat good food that made me feel so good the next day.
That's true. You got pretty sick.
Woo, I got sick. Fair food. Watch out. It's deadly.
Yeah, and then on Friday, I caught the stomach bug. And I so, like, basically I laid on the couch all day because I had a headache and the stomach bug. And we just watched movies for the entire day. This is a bad week.
See, you're saying that like it's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing.
In my mind, I'm like, dude, that sounds like a great day to me.
Minus the stomach flu.
Just be like, oh, yeah, movies and games all day? Yeah.
I know. So we watched, although we watched a movie that I grew up with called Blank Check. It's a Disney movie.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was Disney.
Yeah.
But we watched with the kids. It's about this kid that gets, a blank check, and he ends up writing in $1 million. And spins it. And I felt so bad because I was like, kids, I'm so excited. I love this movie. And they're watching it and they see him write in $1 million. And my oldest son turns to me. He's like, isn't he stealing? And I felt so bad. I'm like, oh my gosh, here's one of those moments where I'm like, watch this great thing. It's about stealing.
Yeah.
And then I was doing
really
that. Like,
steal it. I mean, the guy gave him a blank check.
But then I'm like, well, it's kind of stealing, but it's from a bad guy. So it's okay. So, there's another great lesson I taught our kids this week.
Good job.
So.
I don't have a lot of kids' stories because I wasn't here all week.
Well, you do have one, but I have to
tell
mine
first. I do have
one,
but yeah, it relates to after your story.
So, I was so excited because my sweet little girl is going to kindergarten.
Yay,
and
school.
I was so excited to go pick her out a cutesy little cartoon backpack. So, we get to Walmart, and they didn't have any cartoon backpacks. I don't know if I just got there too late or what, but they're all gone. So I was pointing out, like, look, this one's pink and it has butterflies. This one has hearts and rainbows and blah, blah. And she goes straight over to the guy section and
Because she likes to be like her big brother.
Grayson, his grandma bought him a camo backpack with orange trim. And she went straight to that one and was like, I want this. And I tried so hard, like, well, don't you want these? She's like, no, I want this. And then I tried to use, well, you can't have that one because you can't have two of the same backpack or we won't know who's whose.
Yeah, it'd be confusing.
And then so she's like, okay. And then behind that one is the same style, but it's just like man blue.
Man blue. Okay.
And she pulls it out. And these aren't even kid backpacks. They're like grown man, like man backpacks.
Teenager backpacks.
They're huge. And so she just grabs out and she's like, I want this one. And I don't know what was wrong with me, but I was like, no, you will get a cute backpack. You're my first daughter. And so I took her everywhere, like, look at this one. And I was trying to sell her so bad, like, this one has these cute pictures and your favorite colors. And she's like, no, I want this one. And so after like an hour, or not an hour, half an hour of trying to coerce her, I finally was like, why am I doing this? I wanted to have a good experience, and I'm like, no. So I just decided to let her get the blue backpack. But I was thinking, hey, I'll buy the blue backpack, but then I'll take her to another store with cuter backpacks, and then I can return this one for a cute one.
That's right.
And I get in the car. Well, I put them in the car. Then I buckle in the baby, and by the time I get to the other side and buckled in myself, I turn around and I say, well, don't take the tags off. And Grayson, Earl, just has this look, and I'm like, you took the tags off, didn't you? And he just slowly holds them up. It's like, yes. So, I may or may not have been really angry.
So, but also going along with that, you did regular school shopping on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So, she, you know, it's the tax-free weekend, so you're getting all the school supplies and everything. And so, and Jay went with you to do that. He came home, and then we instructed the kids to take their school supplies and put them in their brand new backpacks. Okay? So they go and do that. And then Jay comes out with her brand new backpack, and she says, or her and the rest...
All of them. They all came out together.
All the children came out together with her blue, man blue backpack.
Man blue!
And they're like, the strap broke. And we're like, the strap broke? And we looked, and there's this...
We were so mad. We're like, well, we'll take it back.
Like this...
They better take it back.
And we're looking at it, and we're like, this is too clean of a cut.
That's really clean to be a rip.
And
it's
they're
like right in the middle of like, the strap.
And they're like, and there's no way our children could have been strong enough to rip it where it ripped. And then, so then we start grilling our three older children and be like, okay, who?
This looks like a cut.
I'm like, this looked like, who cut this? And everyone was saying they didn't do it. And then we asked the oldest to go, we're like, well, go look in the girl's room and see if you can find a pair of scissors.
Meanwhile, our three-year-old keeps saying, it wasn't me. Yeah. I was sleeping.
The three-year-old was like, I was sleeping.
And then the next time she goes, no, it wasn't me. I was playing with my animals. And I was like, so were you sleeping or were you playing with your animals?
But Grayson did find a pair of scissors in the girl's room. And we're like, okay, we know someone cut this with these scissors. I have the evidence and the implement of the doing it.
And I'm just grilling the three-year-old.
And we're just, and then, but then out of the corner of Crystal's eye, she sees our sweet little Jay.
Who picked out the backpack.
Make this face. And then we're like.
Her face just drops.
And like, then we're like, and then Crystal's like, did you cut your backpack? And then she's like, yes. She's like, I thought it was the bigger strap. And we're like, bigger strap. And what we realized that she was trying to do is, since it's a grown person's backpack, she had to cinch up the backpack so far that the straps that...
They're hanging down.
They're dangling down quite a distance. And she wanted to cut those dangling cords so they wouldn't be dangling in front of her anymore. But she didn't cut that cord. She cut the one that's actually attached to the backpack.
She just burst into tears.
And
like,
so
it was so sweet.
Luckily, we did really well on, you know, since she told us the truth eventually. that, you know, we went pretty lenient on her.
Well, but it doesn't help that she just crawled into your lap, just wailing.
Yes.
She felt so bad.
And so, positive
light. I was mad.
Positive light on this story. It looks like Crystal will get to get her pretty backpack after all.
I should be like, you lost the ugly blue one. I'm picking out a cute one.
That's right. So, yeah, so that was fun. And we're like, no one in this household is able to cut anything.
I know.
Without permission.
Just paper. Scissors and paper.
I even said paper. I'm like, not even paper, because sometimes they cut up documents.
Well, and it's funny because in our house, everyone has a habit of blaming Jackson. The little kids, like all
the
kids.
The little one-year-old that can't defend himself.
I know. And I'm like, of course, because he can't talk. And, so he's the perfect
school like, pigeon we're or like, whatever. Jackson does Scapegoat. Not have the strength to even close the scissors.
He doesn't even know how to hold them. All of them.
Let alone, be like, oh, I should totally cut this strap. No, it doesn't work like that.
I know. So it's been an interesting week. I just think it's so ironic that she ruined the backpack that I hated.
It was meant to be.
It was.
All right. So that's basically it for our week. But due to this week, it kind of led to a topic that we thought would be good to address. And tonight's topic is rekindle the romance in your marriage.
We've talked about dating your
spouse. Dating your spouse.
It's a little different.
This is a little bit, this is about romance.
And if there are little ears around you, just warning you, talk about intimacy.
We will be talking about physical intimacy, so be warned for little ears.
The story at the beginning of this killed me.
Should we just read it? It's so funny.
I can just sum it up, or you can sum it up.
Okay, so the author of the story,
a man,
is talking about how that romance doesn't come easily to him. And right away I was like, hey, I could relate to that. And he said, now physical intimacy absolutely does, but the whole romance thing doesn't. And so he's like, but I needed to do something different. And Valentine's Day showed up and he's like, you know what? I'm going to surprise my wife. I'm going to go to the flower store, and get her some roses. So he goes there, you know, everyone's there, all the last minute guy shoppers. And he's like, I went up and I knew exactly what I wanted. He's like, I want to get a dozen long stem roses. And so the lady went back to go get it. And he looked over to the side. And he saw the dozen short stem roses, which were like
$30.
$38. And he's like, oh, well, that's pretty good. And then the lady came out with the dozen long stem roses and they were $84. And so he's like, oh, maybe I should just get the $38 ones, you know? And he's like, no, I'm going to stick to it. It will be a sign of my romance. And he comes home and he presents the roses to his wife and she was ecstatic and loved them. And her friend happened to be there too. And so her friend was just doting on him as well, saying he was so romantic. And the wife then went to go get a vase to put the roses in. And then she comes out with the vase and long stem roses and a pair of scissors because the long stem roses were too long for the short vase. And so he's just sitting there. He's like, should I tell her that those were $84 long stem roses? And then she thus proceeds to cut the roses to a $38 rose rather than an $84 rose. And
that breaks my heart a little.
It does. And so he said, but it was the thought. And he said it was the thought that counts, and that it was a really good thing for him to do to be romantic for his wife. So he said, you know, basically bit the bullet and he's like, oh, well, I won't get long stone roses ever again.
But the whole point of what he was saying is that, well, his is directed toward men, but I'll say men and women.
This applies to both men and women.
But he said that we just don't put in the time to be intentional about romance.
Yes, intentional romance.
And he said oftentimes people don't think intentional and romance should be in the same sentence.
Yeah, romance is always, especially in movies, it's always associated with spontaneity. Yeah.
So. Yeah, but he said, for those of us who don't usually act like we're fresh off the set of an Italian or French romance movie, we need to learn. Don't ever do that if you're trying to be romantic. We need to learn to be intentional about bringing romance to our relationship. Frankly, if you are too tired or too distracted to work on romance in your marriage, then something is very wrong.
Yes.
And that hit a little too close to home because I'm always tired.
But he continues on to, he says he wants to, he shares the passion plan.
Oh, and this is a, it's actually from a Christian.
It's Christian Broadcasting Network.
Yeah.
So CBN.com, and we'll have a link in the show notes. So it's the Christian Broadcasting Network. So,
So this man wrote a book.
Yes.
He sounds like a preacher, pastor.
Yeah, a pastor.
And so, So he wrote this book called Creating an Intimate Marriage, but this is the summary of his book.
Yes.
So, the
called
Passion
Plan. Called the Passion Plan.
So, five steps for your Passion Plan.
Four.
Oh, is it four?
Four steps.
Oh.
Four steps.
It's even easier.
Yeah. One less step. And so, we'll hit on those and we'll talk about them. So, step one, Passion Plan with you and your spouse. Kiss passionately for at least 15 seconds. Every day.
This kills me because it sounds so easy.
It sounds so easy. But if you think about it, like...
How often are you making out with your spouse?
Well, even like this week, for example. Like...
I don't think we kissed.
I don't think... Like
good night.
Good night. But we never like passionately kissed this week. And so it was just...
That's why this article was pulled up for
That's
us.
Right. Well, no. And so it just made us realize, like you said, you would think that this would be so easy to do.
Yeah, all of these sound easy.
But it's the whole, like, you know, we get too busy. And oftentimes we're too busy with unnecessary things. But we'll kind of touch on that.
Or your children.
Yes.
You can get distracted by your children.
But so daily passionate kissing keeps the fire burning. So, and
they quote a prostitute saying, I won't kiss my clients because kissing is far too intimate.
From Pretty Women.
It doesn't say Pretty Woman. It just says prostitute.
But that's what it's from.
It could be a real prostitute.
No.
Too. I'm sure they all say
that. I'm whatever. But so it says passionate kissing for even 15 seconds a day releases feelings about each other that say, I love you. I want to be with you. You are special to me. So this is not about sex. So the passionate kissing is not about sex. It's about romance. But they said, but there is no rule that you have to keep it to 15 seconds. You can go ahead and splurge if you want to and go longer.
Yeah, because if you're timing it, then yeah, the romance is gone.
So, you know, oftentimes that, you know, like passionately kissing or making out, you know, is lots of fun. And you don't have to necessarily, it doesn't have to lead to sex in to have enjoyable passionate kissing.
Well, it's like, I remember a friend saying, the best romance she felt with her now spouse was before they were married, because it was exciting to kiss back then.
Yeah.
But then you get your slew of kids and your job and everything.
Can't keep your hands off of each other type of thing.
So after you're married, it just kind of...
Things add up and
get in the way. Yeah, it just kind of gets on the back burner. So I say, just try to bring back those good old days.
All right, so number one is kiss passionately for at least 15 seconds every day.
It sounds so easy.
Sounds so easy, but there you go.
Okay, number two.
Number two.
Take 15 minutes at least 5 days a week to connect and talk.
Okay, so 15 minutes, 5 days a week, connect and talk.
That's what I said.
Awesome.
So it said, frankly, if there's not emotional intimacy or connection, there will be little interest in healthy romance. Find time to connect. So find time to communicate on a deeper level. And he talks about some friends of his that are pastor, or the man's pastor. And he said he and his wife has set a specific time each night to sit on the couch, hold hands, and talk about their lives together.
Just for 15 minutes.
Yeah, and they said the kids can take a 15-minute break. Church doesn't need you for 15 minutes.
Life.
Your work doesn't need you.
Yeah, life can help. Life can be put on hold for 15 minutes.
Yeah. And he says he and his wife, the author, liked to talk on their walk with their dog.
Yeah, they just go on a walk. See, and so there's other ways of spending 15 minutes together. And this isn't, it's only 5 days a week, it says. The challenge is only 5 days a week. It's not even a whole week.
It's not 7 days.
It's not 7 days.
Because that would be impossible.
I know. But, yeah, so, and once again, like you said, it sounds so easy, right? Sit down for just...
No, because they have a dog and we have four children.
Well, no.
Which is like four dogs.
It sound the concept of sitting down for just 15 minutes and talking to each other about life sounds really easy. But once again, it's just like...
It sounds impossible.
When we're sitting down together on the couch, we have four kids that are jumping around on us.
Yeah. And our problem is we don't talk a lot during the day. We talk at nighttime. Right. But we always go to bed too late. And that's part of this problem with romance is that we go to bed so late that
because we... Because we pillow talk for...
Forever. And then we're so tired, we just fall asleep.
Yeah.
So...
Which kind of relates to...
Another
step later.
I have a habit of... talking you to sleep.
I love the voice sound of her voice putting me to sleep.
Yeah, it's not usually a two-way conversation. It's usually me jabba 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 jabba.
It's two-way for about 5 minutes.
It's true. You're really good until...
And then I fall asleep.
Yeah.
I'm really fast at falling asleep.
So maybe we should try this whole...
Sitting on the couch, holding hands.
That's...
Looking lovingly into each other's eyes.
Right, as four kids climb all over us.
No, it could be after...
Maybe that's why we bought the Wii.
After bedtime. There you go. Play the Wii for 15 minutes 15 while minutes. We talk about life.
Point 15 seconds so we all can right. make out too.
That's right. And 15 seconds so we can make out. So take 15 minutes at least 5 days a week to connect and talk.
Okay.
Number three, date and court your spouse for at least 1.5 hours a week. Very specific here.
Not an hour.
Not an hour.
Not 2 hours.
But 1.5 hours. So that maybe gets you a movie in there or something.
Or dinner.
Or dinner. So I like what they say. A non-negotiable regularly scheduled date with your spouse speaks volumes. This is a time to not talk about, you know, insurance, bills, work problems, but rather focus on focus on each other. The question I have to ask myself as I prepare to go out with my wife, the author says, Am I only giving her my emotional scraps? So dates don't have to be fancy or expensive, as we talked about on a previous episode with our dating your spouse. He says, I find that I can put up, that my wife can put up with a fairly crazy schedule if she knows she has my full attention on a weekly date. And then it says, the last part I really, really like. Yeah. He says, if you are too busy to date, you are too busy with lesser priorities.
And I love this because I know so many people that say, we can't afford to go on dates. Or we...
Which is why we instituted home dates.
Yes, which we have fallen
Well, we had lots of crazy things going on.
Well, we're too busy with lesser priorities.
That's right.
So, but because of this article and things, we plan on restarting.
We're going to do this challenge.
Bam!
We're going to do the passion plan. So date your spouse and it's just 1.5 hours a week. So you can split that up if you want to.
Yeah, and I mean, really,
but
it could be playing a board game
late at night. And like he said, it's a time that you dedicate fully your attention to your spouse. And I like how he says that, you know, my wife can put up with my crazy schedule if she knows I give her that 1.45 hours a week dedicated only to her. And so...
But I also think it's okay to talk about work. Oh, I mean, not if it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, if you're telling interesting things.
Yeah, well, no.
Not the boring
don't, yeah,
stuff.
Don't be dissuaded from certain topics.
And I like to talk about our kids. I feel like half the time, that's like our stress relief when we talk about the things that drive us crazy
See, but if we do our 15-minute... connect and talk time,
then we won't have anything to say on our 1.5 hour
then our 1.5 hour date we can talk about other things.
Like what?
Like,
don't say movies. It's always your go-to.
We could talk about books.
Oh. Okay. So, but we did talk about on our dating your spouse episode about having questions already pre
planned.
I think that helps.
We've done that a lot, and luckily Crystal has been a lot better at that than I have. But oftentimes when she knows we're gonna go out on a date, she'll research some just fun questions to ask you, and they could be totally random, and she'll print them out, and then when we hit that possible lull in our conversation, she'll just like, whip out that paper and be like, all right, let's go. Let's read these.
I sent you a funny one the other day. Do you remember that one?
A funny question?
It was the would you rather. I'm trying to find it. So keep talking.
Oh.
Oh, here's something that you can ask your spouse.
There you go.
Let's see. Would you rather be able to come in fourth in any race at any time?
Okay.
Or be able to perfectly forge anyone's handwriting, but only when writing the phrase, I want pudding.
That doesn't even make sense.
I know. Or, let's see. You're trapped in medieval Europe. Okay. Would you rather be the only person who knows modern medicine or the only person who knows kung fu?
No.
That's a good one,
right? That's a good one, too.
And then what?
I'd have to go with modern medicine on that one, though.
What's the one that I sent? Oh, okay. Here's the one I sent you. Would you rather have the ability to ace any test, but only when completely naked? Or have
you send this to me?
I did.
No, you didn't.
Well, I sent it to my brothers. I thought I sent it to you.
No. Okay.
I'll start over. Would you rather have the ability to ace any test, but only when completely naked?
Okay.
Or have the ability to be invisible, but only while you dance around like an idiot?
I'd totally take naked day tests.
Naked tests? I don't know, because stripping down to take the test might get a little awkward.
Be like, don't mind me, people. I get straight A's this way.
So there you go. Some deep thought questions to ask your spouse.
All right. So number three was date and court your spouse for at least 1.5 hours a week.
Okay. Number four. Here's the part where I start giggling like a little child.
Like a little girl.
Schedule into your life 1.5. No more, no less.
Wait, you can have more.
Hours a week for sexual intimacy.
There you go.
Okay.
So 1.5 hours a week for sexual intimacy.
If you're like most people, you may stumble on the word schedule. Spontaneity is wonderful when it comes to romance, and let's hope for many breathtaking spontaneous moments. But all marriage authorities do agree that a scheduled regular time for sexual intimacy can bring a spark back to the relationship quite quickly.
See, okay, and this was kind of weird because we've never been on a sexual intimacy schedule before.
Are we really going to talk about ourselves, Barry?
I'm just saying that I'm sure to our listeners, too, that just sounds, maybe it doesn't sound weird to them. Maybe they are on a schedule. But I just thought it sounded weird. It's just like, you know, on this day at this time, you know, we will make love.
Yeah. Whether you want to or not. But I've been thinking about this since we read it like 20 minutes ago.
Okay, sweet.
And I guess because at first I was like, that's horrible because I'd feel obligated and that's not romantic.
Uh-huh.
But then I was thinking, if you know that it's like going to happen, then maybe you would have more drive like throughout the day.
To put yourself in the mood.
Like, you know. Flirt or
be romantic as the passion plan is.
I think
all
that's
about
what they're intending.
Yes.
Not just to be like, come on.
Like, all right, let's go. Let's do it right now.
It's time. It's 7 o'clock.
But no, but they kind of talk about it a little later in a paragraph that talks about how
they said they have some friends
that they flirt throughout the day because they know that Wednesday nights is the night that they, you know, make love.
Okay, but I want to know, do you consider this flirting? Because it says, one couple I know from Tennessee schedules sexual intimacy every Wednesday. He has to preach on Wednesday nights, and his wife told me he is never long-winded anymore. Even during the day, they may flirt with each other with an email that simply reads, It's Wednesday. Is that flirting? I would have been like, Wednesday.
It's a healthy reminder.
It's not flirting, it's like, It's time.
But
because I'm tapping my wrist.
For wrist clock.
Wrist clock.
My wrist clock. They're called watches. but
Wednesday.
But no, like Crystal said, that it could give you an opportunity to maybe that it's on the schedule, but maybe that spontaneous nature will come in to be more flirtatious,
right?
Or do something like spontaneous, like you drop something off at their work or something like that.
And be like, I was gonna say you drop something on the floor.
Oh,
I was picturing like the bend and snap.
Oh, the bend and snap, bend and snap. No, like, you know, like if I, you know, you walk out the door and on the doorstep was some
$84 bouquet of roses.
That's right, long stem roses. So, you know, something like that. Be like, add to that. You know, the schedule is there, but you can be spontaneous in your flirting and setting the mood.
Right. So, in conclusion, it says, if romance doesn't come easy to you, just remember it's the thought that counts. And trust me, it's worth every effort and every moment you invest in strengthening your marriage. Not only does your spouse benefit, but your entire family as well. I believe that loving your spouse is one of the best things you can do for your children.
And it's true, because if your children see how much you love each other, that's going to be definitely mentally healthy for them when they have relationships in the future.
Except my children are what wear me out from not wanting the passion plan.
So the passion plan, I would like our listeners, if you think you and your spouse are maybe lacking a little bit in the romance area, or you're not and you just want to try this for fun,
Or come up with your own version.
And if you come up with your own version, definitely share it on our Facebook page, because we'd love to.
Unless it's weird and awkward. Don't share it.
Then you can email it to us. But yeah, so just to touch base, go over the passion plan. And Crystal and I are going to do the passion plan. We need to set and be the example to our listeners. And we will.
And then we'll share it all with you.
That's right. Every intimate detail. No. But
show just got real.
Maybe we'll, it just got a mature rating. No, but we'll report on it next week.
Sure.
And, so remember, number one, kiss passionately for at least 15 seconds every day.
Number two, take 15 minutes at least 5 days a week to connect and talk.
Number three, date and court your spouse for at least 1.5 hours a week.
Number four, schedule into your life 1.5 hours a week for sexual intimacy.
All right, so that's it. Thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard,
so is romance.
And romance can be too, as well. And we believe you should get a gold star just for trying in both areas.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook and Twitter at The Clown Car. And you can email us if you have a new passion plan or tweaks to it that you want to share.
Or a question.
You can email us theclowncarshow@gmail.com, or you can just drop a message on Facebook. And make sure you subscribe.
Rate. Review.
Our show on iTunes. Until next time, enjoy your circus. Nice.
Enjoy
the circus.
You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.